This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When all was said and done, late on Thursday night, after Donald Trump's speech, I called up America's leading political commentator, a man of great probity, the author of the Borowitz Report, my colleague and friend Andy Borowitz.
Well, it completely ruined my theory of the convention that I was starting to assemble. Can I share that with you?
Please.
Well, I had this theory that, you know, while the press was saying that the convention was a train wreck with, you know, Melania quoting Michelle Obama and Rudy Giuliani just seeming to have some sort of chemical imbalance, I thought what they were setting us up for was that tonight we would see a Donald Trump who was subdued and presidential and would seem so much more normal than everything we had seen up to that point. Boy, was I wrong. I totally got that wrong.
And so what did you hear? What did you make of it?
Well, you know, I think it's important to put it in context. I mean, did you see that kind of Ken Burns documentary they did?
I did.
It was like he built the railroad. He invented the car.
He transformed the skyline.
Exactly, all of that. And then Ivanka came up. And then she basically reinvented Donald Trump as a proto-feminist. He was like Betty Friedan all of a sudden. So then Donald comes out, and I would say about 13 seconds into his speech, there was a minor adjustment. I don't know if you noticed this, but he said, "We did this." He went through, somebody did like a find replace on his text of the speech and took out all the I's and then put in we's in the first. And he seemed so uncomfortable with this pronoun.
And he used the word generous.
Well, you noticed that. And I actually have the direct quote. I was scribbling this down, David. He said, "We must be a country of generosity and warmth, but we must also be a country of law and order." And you know what? He said generosity and warmth. He got crickets from the audience. No one was into generosity and warmth. And then law and order, people roared, and that kind of set the tone for what was to come. The late, great Molly Ivins has this unbelievably brilliant quote about a similar speech at a Republican convention given by Patrick Buchanan. You know this quote?
No.
It said the speech must have sounded great in the original German. And I mean, it was like, this was a speech that would make Laura Ingraham stand up and salute.
And yet, Andy, this was supposed to be a week in which the convention was going to be a transformed event. It was going to have show business glamour. Did you think they delivered on that?
Well, that really depends on whether or not you were a fan of the TV series Joni Loves Chachi. Are you familiar with the Eurovision Song Contest?
I am.
I sort of felt like that was the level. It was a series of people who you didn't really know who they were. A lot of them were former soap opera stars or, you know, interestingly, underwear models, very well represented, not just Melania, but also this guy, Antonio Sabato.
I did see him. And but I should say that underwear models are people too. So there might not have been many African Americans in the hall and Hispanics, but underwear models, you got them.
And it was really, you know, it's interesting. That's an immigrant story that Trump really likes. He likes immigrants who come over here with nothing but the underwear on their ass and who turn that into a great American success story. And I guess his view, you know, he's seen as being anti-immigrant, but I think his real view is immigrants are okay if they're hot. I'm down with that. It's cool.
Now, it was amazing that the Trump kids got up one after the other. What did you make of the Trump kids, and did you have a favorite?
Well, okay. Well, first of all, there were too many Trump kids. They could have lost a few. We could have lost maybe Tiffany and Eric, sort of the marginal ones. Just get them out of the picture. But I would say of the ones remaining, despite all the hype for Ivanka, my favorite by far was Donald Trump Jr.
Why is that?
Because can you imagine growing up with the name Donald Trump and the pressure on him to be as odious as his dad someday? And I think he is coming along in that direction really well. He had one really bad moment. He was trying to establish his father's construction site cred. And at one point he said, you know, my dad was at the construction site pouring sheetrock and hanging concrete. And then he realized, oh, wait, that's not exactly what you do with those two things. And he got kind of flummoxed. But I think maybe on the campaign trail, he should stick to things he knows about, like tanning. He really knows a lot about that. Just stick with that kind of stuff.
But we're leaving out the greatest moment of all, and it's the one I almost missed, is the Ted Cruz moment.
Well, you know, I think Ted Cruz, from my point of view, was the hero of the convention, because it was late Wednesday night, and I was really getting sick of watching the whole thing. And then Ted Cruz got booed off stage and completely restored the entertainment value of the RNC. I was right back in. It was must-see TV. I think Ted Cruz is really a remarkable guy because in the space of a few minutes, in a room filled with 10,000 Republicans, he's capable of turning the entire room against him. I mean, he almost has a superpower when it comes to making people hate him. He really is amazing.
What do you think Hillary Clinton will do in reaction to this spectacular in Cleveland?
Well, what I would do if I were Hillary Clinton, her entrance, I think, should be that she comes in manacles and that she is actually locked up. And then she just grits her teeth and breaks free with her own sheer force of will and just proves, sort of like Hulk, you know, and it just sort of proves that, you know, they can try to lock her up, but it ain't going to work because she's Hillary. That's what I would do.
Andy Borowitz writes the indispensable Borowitz Report for The New Yorker.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.